Hare Krishna. So it's a great fortune and privilege to be here again, this most holy place, Shri Bhaktivedanta Manor Dham. Coming very early this year. Usually it's a year's gap, just within a couple of months back again on the insistence of the devotees here. So great fortune and privilege to be here and serve the wonderful devotees here at Shri Bhaktivedanta Manor Dham. I'd like to take the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavas present here before I would speak on this verse this morning. Recently one devotee was sharing that here in London you have this university called ULC. UCL, is it? Okay, I thought it was ULC. And Krishna consciousness, spiritual life is also university life, he said. He said, here you have UCL, but we have UBY. And he said, UBY is the University of Bhakti Yoga. And just like in a university, one needs to have certain qualities to be able to get admitted for a course. Similarly, in the University of Bhakti Yoga also, one needs to have certain qualities and qualifications before one is admitted in the process of bhakti. He said, just like in a university, one has to pay fees to be able to take the course. Similarly, in the University of Bhakti Yoga also, one has to pay the fees of many times giving up one's temptations and attractions to be able to practice continuing Bhakti Yoga. He mentioned that just like in the university, a student has to take exams in order to get a degree. Similarly, in the University of Bhakti Yoga also, a student has to take exams. Krishna puts a lot of tests and exams to his devotees before he finally awards the degree. Just like in a university, there is a dean who will see whether the student has fared well or not and then finally offer the degree. Similarly, the University of Bhakti Yoga has the dean, which is Lord Krishna. And the head office where Lord Krishna, the dean, sits is the heart. You know, mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. And just like when a devotee, when a student qualifies by passing all the exams and showing excellent behavior and commitment to his studies, then the dean will give a certificate, you know, where he gets his degree. And once he gets his degree, then he can come out of the college, the university, and start working in the world outside. Similarly, in the University of Bhakti Yoga also, finally when the devotee qualifies and passes all the exams and tests that Lord Krishna gives, then he gets a degree from Lord Krishna, a certificate. And the certificate is love of Godhead, you know. And when the certificate is achieved, then one can get out of this material world, just like a student gets out of the college. And then he can seek employment in the spiritual world, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoted that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Das kari vetan more deho premadhan. You employ me, Lord Krishna. You employ me as your servant and give me the remuneration of love of Godhead. So, a devotee then passes out of this material world and enters into the spiritual world to serve Lord Krishna in the spiritual world, getting his remuneration as love and more service. And therefore there is a very similar parallel there. University education, universities in this world, and the University of Bhakti Yoga, where one graduates to go back to the spiritual world. But what is very, very crucial and important is that a devotee has those qualities and qualifications in order to graduate, just like a student. And here in this episode, we find Prahlad Maharaj. The very title of the chapter is Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. All the saintly qualities and qualifications of Prahlad Maharaj ultimately solicit the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who comes as Narasimha Dev, protects him, and at the end of the life of Prahlad Maharaj, he goes back to the spiritual world. Thus, having fantastic role models in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the world of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, our Acharyas, and in contemporary ISKCON, you know, to have fantastic role models whom we can emulate and learn from as to what qualities we can acquire in our own personal life to be able to graduate out of this material world is very crucial and important. Just like a person in college, he wants to graduate, then the other student will take his role model. He wants to excel in his career, excel in his academics, then the other students will take his role model. Similarly, in this university of Bhakti Yoga also, there are many, many role models that we can learn from, and Prahlad Maharaj is one. Srila Prabhupada was at Hare Krishna Land Juhu in the early days. I mean, just when we were kind of getting the Hare Krishna Land, I read there's a drama on Prabhupada's disappearance day on, you know, the struggle of the Hare Krishna Land Juhu story. So Prabhupada was there, and there were many families living there, yet they weren't willing to quit those homes. So when Srila Prabhupada came there, there was a family. The name of the family, was surname was Acharya. In India, many families have this title Acharya. You know, their name will be Ram Krishna Acharya, Venu Gopal Acharya. Acharya was their surname. So they were a little favorable. So Srila Prabhupada, along with some of his American disciples, he entered into their house. And as soon as Prabhupada entered into the door and just sat on the couch, Prabhupada just closed his eyes and said, "And thus, we have taken shelter of the Acharyas." You know, of course, he meant going into the house there, but that was more deeper than just taken shelter of the home of the Acharyas. Prabhupada said, "And thus, we have taken shelter of the Acharyas." What a fortune, what a privilege, and what a stroke of good luck for all those who are in the University of Bhakti Yoga to be able to have such fantastic role models as Prahlad Maharaj, as all of these souls in the Bhagavad, as the Acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and as so many devotees in contemporary ISKCON, of course, including the founder Acharyas, Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There's no dearth, you know, of fantastic examples and role models to emulate, if only a few of those things can be learnt and applied in personal daily practice of Krishna consciousness. While reading this verse, Prahlad Maharaj's childhood pastimes of, you know, trying to preach to the kids and not interested in playing, I was reminded of my study of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and reminded of a great personality from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhav. And this morning I would like to talk about 10 qualities of Uddhav. Each of these qualities, very, very amazing, and giving deep insights in the practice of Krishna consciousness in our own personal lives. We will learn as the discussion progresses how Uddhav has a lot to tell us from his own personal example. So, about Uddhav's childhood, the first quality that we learn is detachment. Uddhav, when he was a little child, 5 years old, his mother would call him for breakfast. Yaha panchahayano matra pratar ashaya yachita. Yachana means begging. The mother would come and beg of the child. Pratar ashaya. The breakfast is ready. Please come, Uddhav. Come and take your breakfast. And Uddhav, when he was just 5 years old, requested for breakfast again and again, would not want to eat. You know, completely detached from eating. Completely detached from any of the bodily needs. Very rare to find such kids, isn't it? Very rare to find children who are completely detached from their bodily needs. But I would say there are a lot of kids who are also completely detached from their bodily needs when they're playing. You know, when you see kids who are playing, they're so busy playing, so absorbed in their play, that the mother's coming, "Son, come back home for lunch, come back for breakfast, come and do your study, come and, you know, be with your father." Then the child is totally detached. The child is detached from the mother, the child is detached from the father, the child is detached from eating, the child is detached from sleeping, the child is detached from the physical wounds that he gets while he's playing. Why? Because he's playing. Uddhav was completely detached from any bodily necessities. We see Srila Prabhupada also very much detached from any bodily needs. Once Srila Prabhupada said, "So I'm hardly eating now. I'm hardly sleeping. And in regards to sex life, I've even given up sex life. So I guess I'm a liberated soul now." You know, Srila Prabhupada said, "I guess I'm a liberated soul." And while Srila Prabhupada was in Surat, before going to Surat, there was a great reception for Srila Prabhupada. Bhagubhai Jariwala gave a tremendous reception to Srila Prabhupada. And they had, you know, all these horse-driven carriages, and people were showering flowers, and people were inviting Srila Prabhupada for meals. It was a fantastic reception. And straight after, Srila Prabhupada came to Allahabad for Kumbh Mela. And Allahabad is very, very cold and chilly. So since it was very cold and chilly, Prabhupada And I was still living in the tent like with all the other devotees. And he saw that the devotees, young devotees, were not getting up for Mangala Arati. And the reason was, it was so chilly and cold, the devotees were very scared of taking a cold water shower. That was all that was available. There was this, hand pumps, suction pumps. And the next morning, Srila Prabhupada got up and sat straight under the suction pump and was taking a cold water shower. And the devotees who were around said, Prabhupada, it's very cold. Prabhupada said, so, after all, we are not the body. And the devotees were thinking, Prabhupada, you are not the body. You know, we still are the bodies. So, Uddhava, he exhibited a very powerful quality of detachment right from his very childhood. 5 years old, but not interested in eating. His mother was pushing him, come and eat breakfast, come and eat breakfast. But beyond any bodily needs, that transcended bodily needs, because of his second quality, and the second quality is that of absorption. You know, when there is absorption, one can easily transcend bodily needs. One may not be able to give up eating and sleeping, but one can easily transcend bodily difficulties and bodily inconveniences. And like I was mentioning, a lot of kids, when they play, they just totally forget everything around. They're so absorbed in their game of football, soccer, they're so absorbed in their game of cricket, that they absolutely forget time, they forget hunger, they forget thirst, they forget pain, they forget any climatic inconvenience. Because absorption helps a person transcend physical needs, transcend time, transcend pain, even for a momentary while, but one can transcend. So Uddhava, he could get beyond all these physical necessities and bodily requirements. He could show this quality of detachment because he was absorbed in playing. Uddhava also was absolutely absorbed in playing. Every single day from morning till night, all Uddhav did was playing. The kids love to hear this. Kids love to hear this verse and the purport to this verse. You know, that all day long, all Uddhav did was play, play and play. You know, nice, isn't it? No kids are sitting here in the class, otherwise the parents will have trouble. You know, in the class it was said, all Uddhav did was play, play and play. So, one should not mistake then that a little child who's playing and Uddhav who's playing is the same. One might think that Uddhav and children who are playing in this world are both the same. I don't know how many of you have seen, I don't know if it's here in England, but in India, during the Diwali season, they have this fireworks. And in fireworks, they have a small box that you get. That small box, I don't know if it's here in England, it's called Saap Ki Goli. You know, snake tablets. You know, this little black tablets. And all you do is you put that little tablet, little kind of a pill, on a paper or on the ground, and you take a matchstick and you light it up. And when you light it, suddenly you find, you know, it starts curling up. From this tablet you find all this kind of stuff coming. It's like a snake, black snake. And it goes on, and after the tablet, so it just stays there. And as soon as you touch it, it crumbles down to ashes. So you have a snake which is on a Diwali, you know, fireworks day snake. And you have a real snake. The real snake, you touch it, it bites. A fireworks snake, you touch it, it crumbles down. So we can never compare ourselves with great souls. Great souls are compared to the original snake, not in the wrong sense. Right? And all of us, Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Naman ki, Jai. And all of us are compared, you know, the practitioners are compared to a pill, the fireworks pill. It looks the same, looks similar, but easily crumbles down. So although Uddhav's playing and the playing of any child in this world is not the same, because Uddhav was a liberated soul. The third quality of Uddhav is detachment, absorption, but that absorption in playing was with attachment, you know. He was extremely attached to playing with Radha Krishna dolls, Srila Prabhupada explains. So he was playing constantly, but who was he playing with? He was playing with Krishna dolls. He was playing with Radha Krishna dolls. And Srila Prabhupada explains, Uddhava's play was play of transcendental realization. Very nice statement Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport. Uddhava was playing and his play was a play of transcendental realization. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Parikshit Maharaj was also playing with Radha Krishna dolls in his childhood. And Srila Prabhupada says, My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was also given a Kurmadev deity by his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was a little child. And then Srila Prabhupada says, Even we were fortunate that our father gave us the deities of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, gave us the small deities of Radha Krishna. And from our very childhood, we were taught to play with Radha and Krishna constantly, how to feed them, how to dress them, how to play with them. And Srila Prabhupada, back in the 70s, wrote a purport that even today in India, there are many, many parents who will give their children Radha Krishna dolls to play with, Sitaram dolls to play with. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, if not Radha Krishna and Sitaram dolls, at least some demigod dolls they'll give them to play with. And this culture begins right from the very childhood. Of course, India is not the same now. Now, kids don't have Radha Krishna dolls. They have He-Man, She-Woman, you know, and Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, all kinds of man, you know, all different kinds of toys to play with. But Uddhav had the opportunity to get attached to Krishna, you know, by playing with this fantastic Radha Krishna dolls right from his early childhood. And I love that statement of Prabhupada. Uddhav's play was a play of transcendental realization. And therefore, in the Vedic culture, even play was meant to give transcendental realization. You know, and thanks to the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and his ISKCON society, so many of our wonderful kids getting this opportunity right from the very early childhood, you know, getting to play with Krishna dolls, getting to play with Srimati Radharani dolls, and they'll get their own Yashoda Damodar and they'll do their own Damodar Ashtakam at home. It's fantastic. And we have our Krishna Avanti school now, where this play is facilitated. Like here, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, he was not interested in just playing like that. He was preaching to his friends. So this facility is available right from the very early childhood for those wonderful, fortunate kids who are born in the Krishna consciousness movement. Our Shruti Prabhu was telling me the story of Nitai last time when I came. Very, very interesting. I loved it. You know, I just saw him this morning. All around, you know, there were all these little English girls who used to come to play with him just in his house when he was a child. And these girls would come and ask him, Hey, what's your name? And he would say, Nitai. Now, most of these girls wouldn't understand what their name was. So, you know, they would ask again, Hey, what's your name? Come again. He would say, Nitai. When they still couldn't say it, then he would say to them, he would point here and say, What is this? And then the girls would say, Knee. It's called a knee. And then he would ask, What does your father wear when he goes to office in the morning, in the neck? They would say, Tie. So they say, Knee, tie. You know, say, Knee, tie. Nitai. And that's how he got the girls to learn the name, Nitai. And therefore, to see all of these wonderful kids who grow up in Krishna consciousness and have this culture right from the very beginning is extraordinarily amazing. In Germany, when I visited one devotee's house in Munich, the daughter's 1.5 years old. And the daughter, 1.5 year old, plays proper mridanga. No one's taught her mridanga. And while playing the mridanga, I've never seen a 1.5 year old child speak properly. This girl sings the whole Gaur Aarti every evening in the house. Fully. Full Gaur Aarti. And after that, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, and the Prem Dhwani prayers exactly like a devotee, you know, a preacher or a singer would chant. And the family comes and participates. The father, mother and several other devotees come home every evening, you know. And there is Gaur Aarti that goes on with this little child. So it's incredibly amazing how Srila Prabhupada created that facility in ISKCON for kids to practice the play of transcendental realization. Yes, playing, but playing of transcendental realization. So Uddhav, he had this quality of detachment, not wanting to just concern, not so much concern about bodily necessities because of absorption in playing. But that absorption in playing was in connection to Krishna, his attachment to Krishna, his service to Krishna, because of which he was transcending all of these bodily necessities. So then someone may say, that's not a big thing. It's okay. You know, a child will be able to play. In early childhood, you know, devotee kids can chant Narasimharti. Devotee kids love, the first thing they learn is Narasimharti. And their favorite god is Lord Narasimhadev. You know, that's their favorite god. They love him. Because kids love action. They love demons. They love all kinds of, you know, faces. So as soon as they see this Narasimha, they say, this is our hero. You know, they love him. So kids love to chant Narasimha prayers. They love to chant Hare Krishna. They can do it all. And they'll chant Gita verses, Dehi Noshmin Yatha Dehi, with a little patter. They'll chant all of these verses. But steadiness and commitment when the hormones change is not as easy. Therefore, one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this devotee's son, little child, he chants Hare Krishna and he knows these verses of the Gita. And he's a very wonderful devotee. Prabhupada said, yes, he's a very wonderful devotee. Let us wait and see when he's 16, Srila Prabhupada said. And therefore, all the childhood culture is such a powerful investment that even if in the teenage years the child goes a little haywire and wild, the amazing impressions of Krishna consciousness will pull him back. Srila Prabhupada explained, it'll pull him back. But the test is steadiness. Or the fourth quality Uddhav had was that of steadiness. You know, it was not just childhood play with Radha Krishna. It was not just, you know, childhood detachment from eating and sleeping. Steadily, Uddhav exhibited the quality of devotional service to Krishna. When he was old, Jarasam Gataha, when he was old, Srila Prabhupada explains in his translation, his service attitude did not slacken. You know, a service attitude in childhood, fine, child, so one can do it. But even through his youth and when he got old, his service attitude did not slacken. And that was steadiness in his devotional service. The test of service attitude is, you know, as one goes ahead in Krishna consciousness, many times even gets older, then one's service attitude does not slacken. The nature of passing time is that one, either the body doesn't support, or many times in the Hare Krishna movement, one knows too much about too many things. And when one knows too much about too many things that happened around, then there's a natural tendency to have one's service attitude slackened. With Uddhava, with the passage of time, his service attitude did not slacken. Krishna consciousness is amazing. There is no retirement plans in Krishna consciousness. You know, all companies, when they offer jobs to young seekers of employment, then the companies will always promote their jobs based on a retirement plan. After you serve us for this so long, this is what we'll offer you. This is what your retirement plan will be. After, you know, you do all of this, then you can buy a cottage on the side of Brighton Sea. You know, is that Brighton? On the side of the sea, one can have a nice cottage and relax and have a good time. But in Krishna consciousness, there's nothing like retirement. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, a sincere devotee goes on increasing his commitments in service to Krishna as time passes by. And Srila Prabhupada was a classic example. Uddhav here is a classic example. He's an old man now. Time has passed by. Time has shown its colors. His body has become weak. His physical energy is dwindling. And yet, his service attitude hasn't slackened. He still wants to continue his services and still wants to increase his services to whatever his body, his mind, and his physical energy can allow. Srila Prabhupada was a classic example of this. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's services began full-fledged in his retirement age. When he was 70, all his services began when he was about to retire. You know, going to the Western world at the age of 70 and trying to preach Krishna consciousness, start a whole society, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, his service attitude never slackened. What he achieved in his childhood from his father, Gaur Mohan Day,
in worshipping the deities, little Radha Krishna deities, having his small Rathayatra festivals, the play of transcendental realization,
right,
did not slacken as age passed by. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, he said, I was tested twice. First everything was taken away from me, and then so much was given to me. And so many disciples came, so much facility came, but the service attitude never slackened. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj came to Srila Prabhupada and said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we, the Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party, we are distributing so many books, that we have defeated your publishers, Srila Prabhupada. They are lagging behind. We are distributing so many books and they are not publishing enough. Srila Prabhupada said, they may be lagging behind, but if you ask me, both of you, the distributors and the publishers, are lagging behind. Because I am writing at such a pace that the publishers cannot publish. And when was he writing? He was writing at the age of 74, 75. And therefore, there's nothing like a retirement plan in Krishna consciousness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport to this verse of Uddhava. He explains that a sincere devotee is so well connected to the soul that he feels younger as time passes by. The body is growing older, but because he's growing more and more connected to the soul than to Krishna, he's feeling more and more younger from within, and his enthusiasm to serve Krishna just cascades more and more. And if we see Srila Prabhupada, his enthusiasm, his hard work, his ambition to preach Krishna consciousness, amazing. Prabhupada was going by Buckingham Palace in a car. Devotees were taking him by Buckingham Palace. And as they were taking him, there was this guards outside standing, you know, with these big hats, standing like this. They don't even blink their eyes. And one devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, one of those guards has become a Hare Krishna devotee and joined the temple, Sevenbari place. Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, so what's the big deal? When will the queen join? Srila Prabhupada said, when will the queen join? Hard working, ambitious, you know. Not saying, now I'm an old man, you know, I can relax. Once with Shruti Kirti Prabhu in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada took an afternoon nap. And then after he got up, he called Shruti Kirti Prabhu and said, he would call him Shruto. So he said, Shruto, I need it sometimes. Now I'm getting an old man. Sometime, just for a small time, I need an afternoon nap. He didn't have to explain this to Shruta Kirti Prabhu, but he was, you know, kind of justifying, saying, I'm working hard, I'm doing this service, so now I'm an old man, I need a little bit rest. You know? And therefore, we see this fourth quality of steadiness. Uddhava did not simply exhibit the quality of serving Radha Krishna and being enthusiastic and being beyond the bodily needs when he was a child. But he exhibited that quality all through his life, even to the end of his life. As his age progressed, the service attitude did not slacken. Accordingly, the fifth quality that Uddhava exhibited was continuous remembrance of Krishna. So when there is detachment because of absorption, which comes because of attachment to Krishna, which comes in the form of steadiness in one's practice of Krishna consciousness, then the consequent result is constant smriti or remembrance of Krishna. You know, Uddhava was such a devotee that a small little thing would give him remembrance of Krishna. The heart of a great devotee is a petrol tank. It's a fuel tank, you know, full of fuel of remembrance of Krishna. Just like if there's a fuel tank, one small spark of fire goes in, there is an explosion. Similarly, in a pure devotee's heart, there is a fuel of bhakti. A small factor, situation is like a spark. And immediately, it sets in an explosion of remembrance of Krishna. This explosion of remembrance of Krishna is called Uddipan in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Rupa Goswami explains this as Uddipana. Deepa means fire again, lamp. Uddipan means a little small spark goes in. A sight of a board, unalloyed steel. And what is Srila Prabhupada reminded? Ahituki, apratihata bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada coined that phrase, unalloyed devotional service. He saw unalloyed steel. And suddenly, you know, unalloyed devotional service. Srila Prabhupada sitting in Los Angeles. And there's a breeze that comes by in New Dwarka Garden where Srila Prabhupada is sitting with all of his devotees. And as this breeze comes and touches Srila Prabhupada's body, he says, I am feeling that Lord Krishna is embracing me. And then, once while sitting on the asana in New Dwarka in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada said, I feel that I am sitting on the hand of Krishna. You know, and then he looks at the blue clear sky in Los Angeles and says, this is the color of Krishna. You know, and here in England, when Prabhupada's walking by, so many times, so many situations all around, simply creating that remembrance of Krishna. One spark entering into the fuel tank of the consciousness of a great soul, whew, creates a big explosion of remembrance in Krishna. But it's preceded by these other qualities. It doesn't come immediately. And therefore, when one wants to remember Krishna constantly, one wants smriti, then it must be preceded by the other qualities of detachment, of absorption, of attachment to Krishna, and of steadiness. In spite of all ups and downs, in spite of age, in spite of whatever situation, in spite of whatever circumstances, when all of these qualities are there, then the next quality is smriti or remembrance. And therefore, when Vidura came to Uddhava and asked him about Krishna, that one word was like a password, was like the spark. It set in a big explosion in the heart of Uddhava, and suddenly Uddhava remembered Lord Krishna. As an expression of that remembrance, the sixth quality was ecstasy. Uddhava suddenly went into divine ecstasy. His hair stood on end, he had eyes, tears rolling down his eyes. He was choked up, he could hardly speak, you know. And as Uddhava was exhibiting this ecstatic symptoms, Vidura was watching all of this. Three things very important to remember about ecstasy is, number one, it takes one to know one. Vidura could understand that Uddhava was in ecstasy because he himself was a great soul. And thus, one can never say that X, Y or Z devotee is in ecstasy and come to a conclusion like that, because it takes one to know one. Only one who is experiencing this kind of joy can understand that another is experiencing such kind of joy. Or one has to be so exalted, like the six Goswamis, like Srila Prabhupada, that they create an aura around and we feel, yeah, here are people who have such greatness. You know, one person came to, I believe, New Dwarka temple again, Los Angeles, and in the temple room, started showing some ecstatic symptoms, started rolling on the temple floor. And as he was rolling down there, devotees were confused what to do. So they came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this is one person in the temple room exhibiting some ecstatic symptoms. Srila Prabhupada said, Prabhupada knew who it was and Prabhupada knew what he was doing, feigning it. Prabhupada said, you can go and kick him on his face, and if it's ecstasy, he'll continue with the ecstasy. If it's not ecstasy, then you'll know what. You know what. Of course, we never try such things. You know, we never imitate such things, but Prabhupada did say that. And therefore, with ecstasy, number one, we know that it takes one to know one. Secondly, Uddhava did not exhibit these ecstatic symptoms in public. He did not sit on a Vyasasana and start exhibiting all these symptoms in public to make some cheap show and then gain followers and gain money and gain good name and fame. Srila Prabhupada, once when he was sitting, he was chanting Radha Madhava, and suddenly he was ecstatic. And those devotees who were there mentioned this, and we have to take it as a testimony. I wasn't there to see it. But Prabhupada, when he was chanting Radha Madhava prayers, he started weeping in ecstasy. And according to some devotees who were there, these tears started coming off his eyes perpendicular to his eyes, shooting out like syringes, you know, coming straight out. Now, this is devotees' account. That's why I'm saying it's just the account that devotees there were giving us. And when Prabhupada realized this, immediately when he saw the many devotees around wouldn't understand, he withdrew his ecstasies and came back to normal and chant Hare Krishna. You know, chant Hare Krishna, he told the devotees. And therefore, ecstasy is not exhibited in public. Uddhava here was exhibiting this ecstatic symptom because it was only Vidura there. And thirdly, Uddhav knew that Vidura himself was such a great soul, right? There's no question of any misunderstanding there. There's no question of, you know, cheap imitation and sahajiyavad. Then such ecstasy can be revealed. When everyone around is on the platform of prema and bhava. Yes, Prabhu? Can I? Yeah. I'm just covering the points here. Yeah. So, Uddhav revealed ecstasy not on a public forum. Vidura understood because he himself was exalted. And Uddhav understood that he knows this. There's Sajatiya Sangha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. Sajatiya Sangha is like-minded association of the same level. And therefore he could exhibit these kind of symptoms. The seventh quality of Uddhav was, although he was exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms, these ecstatic symptoms never become a hindrance in his service. Therefore, devotees never give personal ecstasy preference over devotional service to Guru, Krishna and devotees. Uddhav realized that Vidura had asked him a question about Krishna. That was his service to reply to Vidura. Vidura was already in great anxiety because Krishna, Balaram had left this planet. And it was his responsibility and service to give solace to Vidura. That was his service. So there is a service to a Vaishnava, Vidura. And there is personal ecstasy because of remembrance of Krishna. And there is always a conflict. Even in our own life as a practitioner devotee, what to speak of a Prema Bhakta, in a Kirtan when there is tremendous ecstasy and there is a service to be done, there is a conflict between personal ecstasy in hearing a fantastic class or in participating in an exuberant, exhilarating Kirtan, right, and a service to the deities, to the devotees, to the spiritual master. There's always this conflict, right? And therefore, the seventh quality that Uddhav exhibited was to always know what is the highest priority. His priorities were clear, and the priority was not personal ecstasy. His priority was service to devotees. He wanted to serve Uddhava, right? Vidura. And therefore, he restrained himself. He restrained himself, he restrained his tears, he came back, the verse explains, he came back to the material platform to be able to serve Vidura by giving answers to his queries. We find Daruka, he is fanning Lord Krishna. And while he is fanning Lord Krishna, suddenly his eyes are flooded with tears, seeing the beauty of Lord Krishna. And Daruka is cursing his tears of ecstasy. I don't want these tears of ecstasy. To hell with these tears of ecstasy, because it's obstructing my service of fanning Lord Krishna. You know, Mother Yashoda, Damodar month, you know, having Krishna on the lap, and then the milk on the stove is boiling down, flowing down. And what is she preferring? She's ecstatic seeing Krishna. She's taking, beholding the beautiful face of Lord Krishna, which is putting Krishna down, keeping her personal ecstasies aside. Only to do one thing, and that is devotional service to Krishna. And therefore the seventh lesson here from Uddhava's personality is incredible. To resolve the conflict between personal ecstasy and priority. Right? Priority being devotional service to the Lord, Guru and devotees. The eighth quality that Uddhava exhibited was sensitivity. Right? Extremely sensitive to the needs of other devotees. We have Vidura sitting there. Uddhava is in great ecstasy remembering Krishna, and he understands the needs, the interests and the concerns of the person who is sitting in front of him. That is a great devotee leader, right? Who understands the needs, the interests and the concerns of the person whom he is dealing with. If Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra would have given his friend Arjun wealth, that wouldn't have pacified him. And if Krishna in Dwarka would have given his friend Sudama knowledge, that wouldn't have pacified him. Both were his friends. Sudama needed wealth, Arjun needed solace through knowledge. And therefore, Krishna knew what his need was, what his interest was, what his concerns were. And he was extremely sensitive to the needs of the people whom he was catering to. A Vaishnava, a leader, is extremely sensitive therefore. And thus, Uddhav, understanding that Krishna and Balaram have passed away and Vidura is in great grief. He didn't want his ecstasy while Vidura was in grief. That was his need, to take away and give some solace. Uddhav came out of ecstasy to give that, to cater to his needs. Srila Prabhupada also very, very sensitive. One girl in Australia met Srila Prabhupada, I think it was Melbourne, and said, "Swamiji, why didn't you come to Australia before this time?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Because you were not born yet. You know, I was waiting for your birth." And she felt, "My God, Swamiji is so concerned about me that he came only after I was born." And inspired her to take to Krishna consciousness. One, Srila Prabhupada said, there are three ways of flying. One is you just chant a mantra and you're there, wherever you want to go. Most people today would want to have it, especially when the aviation industry, the fuel prices are hiking up and the tickets are going up. You just chant a mantra, go to India. You know, Prabhupada said the second way of flying was through pigeons. I don't know how he said that. And he said the third way of flying was by airplanes. He said that is the lowest, low class way. He said. So when he said that, then one reporter said, "Swamiji, you just mentioned three ways of flying. So why don't you fly by mantras? Why did you fly by planes?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Just to be one amongst you. You know, I just wanted to be one amongst you, and therefore I fly by planes and not by mantras." You know, Allen Ginsberg, he called it Ginsberg, so I'm saying it's Ginsberg. He said, Prabhupada said, Allen Ginsberg. You know, Allen Ginsberg, he, when Prabhupada's health was bad, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada expressing his concern about his health. And Srila Prabhupada didn't smash him. He wrote some Buddhist kind of letter. Srila Prabhupada wrote back saying, "Please pray to your non-theistic deity, you know, for my quick recovery of health." It was a very funny statement. "Please pray to your non-theistic deity," because it's written kind of a Buddhistic philosophy. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was extremely sensitive. What to say, whom to say to, you know, according to the particular person in front of him. Exactly speak and do what is needed for the person to feel inspired in Krishna consciousness. Sensitivity is on several levels. First is physical sensitivity. Physical sensitivity means, you know, someone's hungry, give him some prasad. Someone's sleeping, don't make sound. Don't make thumping sound on the floor so that, you know, it doesn't get disturbed. Someone's thirsty, give him some water. Someone's unclothed, clothe him. That's philanthropy and altruism, more or less. Sensitivity on a physical level. Then there's sensitivity on a mental or an emotional level. And that sensitivity on an emotional or physical level is more to be concerned about others' feelings, how they feel when we deal with them. What we say, what we do, how we behave, how we interact, how we deal with others. How others will feel by my saying things like this. How others will feel if I deal with a person like this. Very high level of sense. It requires great amount of advancement to do that. You know, to be concerned about how others feel. Anyone can give some, cater to physical sensitivity, feed them, clothe them, you know, give them a drink. But what about how others feel? And then there is spiritual sensitivity. Spiritual sensitivity is to be very, very sensitive to others' faith. Tana kritsna vidomandan kritsna vinna vichalayet. Lord Krishna explains in the Gita, one should never unsettle anyone's faith. You know, if everyone starts thinking, "Oh, we are the Hare Krishnas, we are the ISKCON people, we are the holier than thou people, you know, with the halo around our heads," then we are doing the same thing as everyone else is doing, you know. And therefore, it's very, very crucial and important, very, very crucial and important that we be sensitive to the needs and interests and concerns of the other faiths as well. A dog will recognize his master no matter what clothes he comes in, you know. And therefore a faithful devotee, like a faithful dog, will recognize the Lord, whether he comes as Krishna, as Ram, or in any other particular form in a certain faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a Shikshamrita explains that when I go to visit a church, he said, "I see my Lord Shri Krishna, who has taken a certain form or has sent one of his representative and sons to inspire someone to come closer to him in whatever way is possible." This is Sachidananda Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wanted to build the church of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you know. And therefore, that is tremendous amount of sensitivity when there's dealings with people. So Jiva Goswami explains two things needed to go back to Godhead, only two things. One is attentive chanting, and second is attentive dealings, where one is concerned about how others feel, how, you know, what their needs, their interests and concerns are. Uddhava was very, very sensitive. When he saw Vidura in grief, came out of his ecstasy to be able to deal with Vidura on a platform that he wanted. Therefore, in the spiritual world, you know, even the lowest species, apparently, there's nothing like a lower and a higher species, apparently from the material paradigm, even the lowest species are the most sensitive. And in the material world, the most evolved species are insensitive. The most evolved among the 8,400,000 species is human beings. And we see humans the most insensitive to dealing with others. Whereas in the spiritual world, apparently the lowest species are with the highest level of sensitivity. We find in the spiritual world Tulsi, you know. Now Tulsi is a plant apparently. That's why I say I'm not comparing to be a ordinary species. Just from the material paradigm, a plant, you know. But what is the sensitivity of a plant to be able to deal with others? In the third canto, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find all the different plants there, Mandara, Kunda, Karaba, and all these plants, super sensitive. They realize Tulsi is so dear to Lord Sri Krishna. She loves Krishna. She's at the feet of Krishna. They deal with Tulsi accordingly. They don't just deal with Tulsi, you know, just another plant. Because there is a very high level of sensitivity. And to conclude, last two qualities just in 2 minutes. Uddhav was told by Lord Krishna. All the Yadavas went back to Godhead. Lord Krishna told Uddhav, you stay in this world. You give your association to the sages of Badrikashram, give your association to the gopis of Vrinda, you stay in this world. And therefore, there are two kinds of devotees. One is a devotee who is a faithful devotee, and second is a trustworthy devotee. Faithful devotees, all devotees can be faithful. But trustworthy devotee is a devotee who is trusted by the spiritual master, and because he is trusted, he is entrusted with responsibilities because of his level of advancement. And therefore the spiritual master loves every devotee, every disciple. But does the spiritual master trust every disciple is the question. And to be able to be trusted, then this all of these qualities precede. And thus, such a trustworthy devotee was Uddhav, that Lord Krishna told him, no, you stay here. Stay in the material world, because he knew he would be unaffected by what's going on around. And to conclude, in spite of all of these 9 qualities, Uddhav had the quality of humility. Usually with all of these, one would not be so humble. Uddhav, we find, is saying that in the same chapter, third canto, same chapter, second chapter, Uddhav is in his remembrance of Krishna saying, even the demons were so absorbed in Krishna, maybe in an inimical way, but I haven't been able to absorb my consciousness in Krishna. And we know the story of how Uddhav wanted to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, to be stamped by the lotus feet of the gopis of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada also, following in the same line, exhibited this amazing quality of humility. And once someone came and said, Srila Prabhupada, you look exactly like your spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada said, like my spiritual master? What comparison you're making? He's gold, I am iron. Don't compare me with my spiritual master. Extremely humble and always giving credit to his spiritual master. So here we find in this character and the personality of Uddhav, the qualities of detachment, the quality of absorption, the quality of attachment, the quality of steadiness leading to remembrance, which leads to ecstatic symptoms. But the priorities are clear. In spite of ecstatic symptoms, priorities to serve. And in spite of being on that platform of absorption, high level of sensitivity in dealings with others, leading to trustworthiness. That's what led to trustworthiness. And finally, the great virtue of humility. So we find here, I just saw the word playing, you know, and Prahlad Maharaj is playing in the school playmates. So I just thought Uddhav was play, what was his play, and I thought I'll...